What up, family? It's your man, Hugh Holland, and you are now rocking with the most in-depth show in hip-hop.
Yo, what's good, y'all? It's your boy, BRM.
Hey, yo, this is D-Rock.
What's good? This is your boy, Intellect.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is Mitch Durrell.
What's good, everybody? This your boy, TC, and you rocking with the Bookkeeper 24-7 podcast, whose hands always on that plow. So keep it tuned in, because we in the field, man, changing the culture for God. Let's go. I got it all.
It's right there. I got it all in my boogie book. Yeah. Bookkeeper. My bookie 24-7. I got it all in my boogie book. Yeah. We in our bag now. All in my boogie book. Yo. Hey. Yo. Yo. Hey, welcome to the show. Hello. 24-7, Lord, hit him with the glow. Bleak. New podcast, and we do it for your soul. Bookkeeper 24, we do it for the bros. True fellowship with the saints, boy, you know. You now know. I keep the book, but I used to keep the foe. Uh-huh. Hit it in my heart, and I put it on my phone. Okay. Sincere milk, now it's time for you to grow. And hear the good news, for it's time for you to go.
Powered by TBK247.com. Welcome to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with my husband and your host, Daryl Kemp. Thank you, as well as our new listeners, for joining us. On this podcast, we interview artists that we feel should be on everyone's radar and discuss not just music, but their testimony, musical influences, and other topics throughout our culture. In the 24th episode, Daryl chops it up with Christian hip-hop artist Sam Purpose. They discuss his latest album, Pitmo, the death of his dad, miscarriages, losing his best friend to violence, and growing up with epilepsy. Sam Purpose also shares his powerful testimony and the reason behind his song, Black Dad. This interview is packed with information and much more. You definitely will want to tune in until the end. Don't forget, if you really want to help us grow, smash that like button, subscribe to the channel, and hit the alert button to be notified for the most in-depth show in hip-hop, the Bookkeeper 247 podcast. Thanks for joining us, Sam Purpose. Without further delay, let's go!
Let's go!
Let's go! Let's go!
Hey, what's up? This is Kayla Kemp. Check out Miles Morales by Sam Purpose and then dive into the most in-depth show in hip-hop with my dad and Sam Purpose only on the Bookkeeper 24-7 podcast. Holla.
Purpose. Renew your mind.
Overcome the fear. Overcome the fear. Leaping buildings like I'm Miles Morales every year. Overcome the fear. Overcome the fear. Leaping buildings like I'm Miles Morales every year. If we gon' fall, then we gon' shine. If we on call, then we gon' grind. Overcome the fear. Overcome the fear. Giants disappear. God is in my ear. Heart from the ghetto, on the low, I face anxiety. I wanna let go, still I gotta face society. Need a peace of mind more clearer than sobriety. So I seek the kingdom first to fight the war inside of me. I'm a vessel with a gift from God, still I'm kinda flawed. Power deep inside my heart, still feeling like a fraud. Try to keep it moving, but you know it's kinda hard. Fighting all the lies that's in my head to keep my guard. Why do I keep focused on giants that deceive? When I got potential up in my veins to be a king. See, my faith is essential up in my lane to be supreme. My understanding is nothing when God's head of the team. So I overcome the fear, overcome the fear. Leaping buildings like I'm Miles Morales every year. Overcome the fear. Overcome the fear. Leaping buildings like I'm Miles Morales every year. If we gon' fall, then we gon' shine. If we on call, then we gon' grind. Overcome the fear. Overcome the fear. Giants disappear. God is in my ear.
Okay, gang time.
time on the main line with the same mind, same guy, never waste time. To the top, won't stop, can't flop when I drop. Gotta give it all I got from the baseline. Newcomer, but I go in the prime. Ready for the war, so I go in the grind. Said he gonna soar when I go to the light. Fear gotta disappear when I go take flight. Ay, looking in your face on the runway. Tell you that I'm coming for you one day. Now you got a taste of the one breakdown, but I found the only way that you could be safe. Carry down 10, now I'm zoned in. So the blood shed to the end. Carrying my cross like a boss on the field. When I yield to the real shield, God's on the wheel.
Overcome the fear, overcome the fear. Leaping buildings like I'm Miles Morales every year. Overcome the fear, overcome the fear. Breaking chains off, cause I brought my courage up in here. And if we gon' fall, then we gon' shine. If we on call, then we gon' grind. Overcome the fear, overcome the fear. Giants disappear when God is in my ear.
Without further delay, I want to welcome Sam Purpose to the podcast.
What up, what's up, and what it do? Sam Peasy, Black Dad, Mr. Sam Purpose. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be on the Bookkeeper 24/7.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We really appreciate you being here, my brother. So we got an icebreaker in the beginning, man, for the listeners. Tell us, who is Sam Purpose?
All right. So simply put, without going into detail, Sam Purpose is a man of God coming out of the small town of Middlesex, North Carolina, with the chickens and the cows, and who loves Jesus primarily, his family. I got a wife. We've been married for 12 years. Two children that we prayed for, three children who we had miscarriages by. But mainly Sam Purpose is a man who, my whole motivation, my whole purpose on earth is to bring glory to God. And that's all that matters. And bringing glory to God, for some people who may get it twisted, means loving people, your enemies, your friends, your neighbors, even when the people that get on your nerve the most.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I had actually read that about you and your wife and the miscarriages, and then the Lord bless you with two beautiful children. Yes. Was that absolutely, you had to dig, you all had to dig in the trenches going through that, didn't you?
Yes. You know, the story behind it was that, you know, my wife had a condition called PCOS. And I had a low sperm count, and basically it was impossible for us to have children. You know, that was 2015. So what happened was, we believed that God was going to allow us to have children, you know, naturally. But we trusted him. And one of the things that changed our life was he led both of us to go to Chicago. And, you know, we've never been to Chicago before. But in Chicago, we met a organization called Fertilizing Your Faith. And it was a group of people who had been through the same thing we went through, miscarriages, not being able to conceive naturally. But we went there, and we went there twice and just had that conference. And what that helped us to do is to release it and not be in control of it. And it's like, Lord, if we're going to have kids, we have them. If not, we're still going to serve you. We're not going to allow this to separate us from your presence and from each other, you know? And so, you know, as we went on, you know, we were led to just get cribs, you know? And I know people were looking at us crazy, like, you're getting a crib, but they say you can't have any children. I'm like, hey, what's the worst thing that can happen? We can take it back, you know what I'm saying? Or give it to somebody else, or donate it to somebody who is having children. So I think around 2017, my wife went to the bathroom. She said, hey, we're pregnant. And it was just like, that was when I had my daughter, who's 5 years old now. And we miscarried the second time. But then again, you know, my wife came back. It's like, you know, we're having a baby. You know, we had our son, who was 2 years old now. And then for the last 3 years, last year, we miscarried again. And then we miscarried again. And then we miscarried, you know, I actually saw the baby come out of my wife. You know, I've never seen that before, but that image was in my mind, and, you know, it did something to me, you know, both good and bad. And the good part was that we can't have children. But the bad part was, you know, just you thinking about those were your children. Those are my kids. Mm-hmm. You know, you're thinking about, you know, I won't never be able to change them. I won't never be able to, you know, go play with them, go in the parks, go run with them, play tag. You know, I won't never be able to dance with them. But it doesn't neglect the children that you already have. But you always think about that, you know. And for me, I just wanted to make sure I was being there for my wife. But in order for me to be there with my wife, I had brothers in the body of Christ that would needed to be there for me. Because a lot of times men, you know, in this society, we say, you know, I'm just there for my wife. But we really play a part in that when it comes to miscarriage. You know, that's our seed too. Mm. And so a lot of people think men don't hurt and like we tough, you know. But, you know, holding on to that can create bitterness in you, you know, against God. And against other people that may not even know what's going on. And so in order for me to be effective and a leader in my family, I have to have other brothers who encourage me to say, hey, Sam, you know, I understand. But, you know, just keep believing, keep striving, brother. Just know who you are. You know, don't allow this to separate you. Don't allow this to destroy your family. God has a perfect plan. We don't understand everything, even in the midst of chaos. But knowing that God is always in control, even when it doesn't seem like he's in control. You know, I know when the Bible says that when we trust in the Lord with all our heart and don't lean to our own understanding, acknowledge him in all our ways and he'll direct our path. And so I just had to refocus, and I had to make myself refocus, because the flesh really wants to just be done with everything. You don't want to listen to the lies of the enemy. Wants you to get into your own self and be like, hey man, you see that? If God love you, why he let those babies die? You know, and regardless of what, I know we live in a sinful world, but I know God is good.
That's right. That's right, man. I appreciate you sharing that. Man, that was deep right off the rip. Praise God for your beautiful children that he allowed you to have. Yes. And for the ones that was miscarried, we know that he knew them before they was in the womb. So we know that they are in safe hands. Yes. And I appreciate you sharing that, Sam.
Yes.
So you already told us you're from a small town in North Carolina. Man, what's the do in this small town? You already brought up the chicken and the cows, man. So tell us what a regular day would be in your small city like that.
Man, a regular day for us is, you know, going to the court in our little grass background. You dribble the ball enough, it'll make some dirt, right? And you playing basketball. We going to walking to our friend's house, because you don't need no car. Friends stay right across the street. You know, walk there. We walk everywhere. You know, and we just chilling. We enjoying each other's time, you know. And, you know, in my small town, you know, it was some good days, but it was some really painful days, you know. You know, one of my best friends was murdered by somebody in our neighborhood. And, you know, they have a little flower and memorial there for him. And, you know, just, you know, a lot of crime that goes on. Subtly, it's a small town, so you don't think a lot going on. But, you know, there was a lot of drugs. There was a lot of a dealing there. But it was a lot of people who, you know, encouraged me. You know, my grandma, she had a neighborhood store there. And, you know, Buck Adams Trailer Park. You know, I stayed on the other side, but she had it right there, Buck Adams Trailer Park. And, you know, she used to feed the kids. They used to have something called pig pickings, you know, where you get a pig, you split it up, you know what I mean? And this shit, everybody just dig in, you feel me?
Yes, sir.
You put some ribs on the grill. My grandpa, my grandma used to have that. My grandpa had a pool table. My mom had a store. But then, like I'm saying, unfortunately, somebody burnt it down, you know? And it's like, you know, a lot of times, to be real, it's like, even in our own, your own hood, your own place, it's like, sometimes you don't even feel safe. And it's like, we supposed to be together. We supposed to be here. But, you know, like I said, I do understand we live in a sinful world. And what we call brotherhood is really not brotherhood as a standard when it comes to Christ. And
he
explains it, you know, Bible says, you know, you'll know that you are my disciples by the love that we have for one another. And we don't properly know how to love each other. You know, we're not born with the aspects of love. We're born with aspects of hate. We're born with aspects of doing everything against God. You know, a lot of times, you know, what we think is love is not really love. It's like temporal, being nice, being cool. Or if you do what I do, you know, we rock together. But the moment you try to do something else, the moment you try to better yourself, you know what I'm saying, you're a sellout, you this, you that. But, you know, I still remember my place, man. You know, a lot of those guys there, they helped and shape and molded me who I am today. You know, as much as I wanted to get myself involved with the drugs, I had the drug dealers tell me, "Nah, bro, this ain't for you. You know, go ahead. You know, go on ahead, play basketball. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Go do this. You're not with one of us." And so I wanted to fit in for friendship. You know, I was pretending to be someone that I wasn't, because that's how I thought it worked. You know, but I knew I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up where my mom and my father, you know, loved the Lord. You know, I didn't grow up in the traditional church, though. The traditional church, like the traditional Black church, I didn't know nothing about that until I was probably like 21, 22 years old. I didn't know what an elder was, a deacon was, about tithes and offerings. But in my home, I seen those same aspects of Christian faith lived out practically, because we went to a majority Caucasian church. They didn't really have a pastor, but they fellowshiped with one another. We fed each other. We read the word and studied and asked questions. And it was funny, because when we took communion, everybody broke bread together and everybody drank from the same cup, which was kind of weird. But I was like, hey, you know what I'm saying? We brothers. my father taught me that, you know, the color of your skin doesn't really matter when it comes to Jesus.
That's right.
And that's what I grew up with. You know, even though we got racism, even though we have different things that's going on in this world, that is a reality. My father always taught me that, you know, we are all one in the body of Christ, you know, regardless of what. He taught me to love your neighbor, love your enemy. And of course, I didn't practically do that, because it's like, well, love the enemy. You feel like,
that's right.
Come at me like kind of crazy.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, man, Middlesex, you know, born and bred, you know, but that was really the heart of, you know, what has made me have a passion just for this African American community and these people today.
Amen. Amen. So I'm hearing you talk about your grandmother, your mother, and your dad in a high regard, especially being Christians and in the rearing of you as a child. So how was it like losing your dad when you were so young?
Man. So, you know, my father died in 1991, February 3rd. I'll never forget that, you know. And usually I go everywhere with my father. You know, he died in a car accident. And what happened was, you know, we usually go to our cousin Chris's house together. I was 8 years old. He said, no, you can't go this time. Mm. And so, you know, I was like, okay. And so then I noticed that, you know, my father usually comes back, but he didn't come back. It seemed like for a couple hours, to me, it seemed like it was a couple of days, but it was a couple of hours. He hadn't been back, you know. And all I remember, it was 2 o'clock, about 2-3 o'clock in the morning. You know, my sister came in the room, my older sister, well, my sister Michelle, she came in the room. She brought me in there. She said, you know, your dad's got in a car accident, you know. And I said, you know, at first I was like, okay. I've heard of people getting in a car accident. Is he coming back? She's like, no, he's not coming back. And then that broke my heart. That tore me apart. Like, I would never get to see my father again. You know, I was bitter. I was angry, you know, for a long time. I say, you know, I'm 39 years old. You know, for over 30 years, Father's Day was the worst day to me, you know, because I say everybody had their father. Everybody could celebrate, you know, the people that I was around. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't have my father, you know, and so, you know, I know people try to be father figures to me, but for me, my father was a very important part of my life. He was one of the people that set an example for Christ for my mom and my sister, because when he passed, you know, my mom carried that legacy on through him. And I know a lot of people in the Black community, they say, you know, our father wasn't around, you know, and I get that, but my father was around and he was present. And, you know, he was a mechanic, and he worked in the hospital. One of the most valuable things I say about my father, man, is that he loved Jesus. And
amen.
He was cool and calm, like laid back. But when he started talking about the Lord, sharing it with people, he'd be hype. And it's like, you know, my father not only talking about Jesus, but this is why, you know, when we call ourselves Christian is a verb to me, because it has to be shown. How? Because what's the difference between the person that just does good deeds, right? That's not saved, and a Christian. And it can't just be about you talking about it alone, nor can it just be about the deeds alone. So I remember one of my best friends, my father brought a couple in and talked to my mom because they didn't have a place to stay. And he brought him in their home until they found a place to stay. And that they live with us, you know, which is one of the guys who's my best friend now. But they lived with us for a while. And my father strategically brought them in and start taking them to church with us. You know, he started talking about the gospel. And that's the thing, my father wasn't afraid. You know, even if people won't say, people ain't want to hear it, my father wasn't afraid to talk about the gospel. You know, regardless of how many times he got rejected, regardless of how many times he'd be talking about the gospel to Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, he invited him into the house, like, hey, come on in here. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He wants to eat. He wants something to drink. He'll listen to what they got to say. Then it's like, okay. Mm-hmm. What do you think or thought about this? And that was really the foundation that he set for me, even though I didn't want to live that life at the time. You know, I was introduced to Jesus outside of church. So, and I wasn't a member of a church until I was about 23, 24 years old when I moved here to Greensboro, North Carolina, where I reside today. And so a lot of the foundations of the practical things Jesus did in the Bible, I saw outside. And so, you know, I know a lot of times, you know, people will get off in, you know, what they see in church and cause them to leave the faith or cause them not to go. But I encourage people to look at not just the body or inside the church, but the person themselves. You know, and don't just base your salvation on the person, because you got to give an account to, regardless if everybody in the world was misrepresenting Jesus, you still are going to have to represent him.
That's right.
You know, because he reveals himself to everybody. Mm-hmm. The Bible says no man can know God unless they're drawn to him by his Holy Spirit. And if he drew you, then he knows that he drew you and you still reject it, then you still got to give an account for it.
That's right. Man, but we thank God for you having godly parents, and rest assured about your dad. He knew Jesus. So we know that there's no more pain and everything like that with his transition. And I like what you said, and I'm going to piggyback off that. I was listening to a sermon a while ago by Charles Stanley. Yeah, and he was saying that, they're my go-tos, Charles Stanley, Tony Evans. they're my two, you know, what I really have to get out. But I was listening to him, and he said that the representation of a dad in a household is the first representation to a child can represent God in the way that they do. Like, we are important to be leaders, to be godly, to influence our children and our household, our wives, and the people around us, to show them who God is and who we serve. Yeah. And that all works out with Proverbs 22:6. You know, y'all can look it up, but lead a child in the ways of the Lord, he'll never depart. So, you know, and listening to you and you talk about your dad, I'm just glad that his time with you, he left that imprint of God on you and your household. And that's awesome. Yes, sir. So what would you say to a person growing up with epilepsy and trying to navigate through it?
Oh, man. Oh, I tell you, I say the only thing that I can say is, even to the unbeliever, right, that you have to embrace the Lord, even if he doesn't completely heal you, because he'll give you peace. You know, the Bible says, now I'm quoting scriptures up here because that's the only way that I can go by with
yes, sir.
It's the peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. And, you know, initially, before I gave my life to Christ, I was struggling with epilepsy since it was after my father passed. I was 9 years old. You know, I had my first seizure on the playground when I was playing kickball with in my elementary school. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what happened. And from then, I would have them more frequently, over and over again, probably all the way up to I was like 13 years old. It would happen most of the time when I was pursuing my first passion, which was basketball. I was trying to be an NBA player. You know what I'm saying? I was trying to do all, you know, make it to the NBA. I took it seriously.
Yes, sir.
Just as much as I take music seriously now, I took that real seriously. But I noticed that every time I played basketball, I would have a seizure. And it was to a point that it was starting to infuriate me, make me angry. And I went off to smoking, weed, drinking, Old English, Mad Dog, vodka straight. I went off doing all those things, still having seizures. But that took my mind off of me having epilepsy. That wasn't the solution, because after all that high go down, you still know that, hey, I still had it. But it wasn't until I gave my life to Christ that the seizures didn't stop. They came even more violent, more frequently. But I kept saying something. No, and I kept saying, I'm healed, you know. And initially it may sound crazy, right? So you'd be like, you're healed, but you're still having seizures. But it's like, you know what? God is still in control.
I'm right.
And I was still having seizures. I got frustrated at times to a point I stopped taking my medicine. And I'm like, somebody in the body of Christ had to say, hey, like, you know, God is a healer, but, you know, use wisdom. Mm-hmm. Medication. And so I was navigating through it, just, you know, trusting God. You know, I didn't drive for a long time. I wasn't able to drive. That was frustrating, having a kid, having a wife, that my wife has to take me everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pick me up. And I feel like I got into a depressed state. It made me feel like I wasn't a man. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I can't even take care of my wife. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, as I kept, you know, continuing to trust God, I said, you know what? If I have seizures, I have seizures. But I don't want, Lord, help me. But I don't want this to draw you away from me, right? I mean, I don't want to draw away from you because of these seizures. But why do I keep having these things, you know? And then, you know, you think about it. Is it something I did? Maybe I used to get thoughts in my head. Maybe it's because I didn't come to you earlier when I was born in a Christian home and I ignored you. And this is a curse on my life.
Mm-hmm.
And you just start getting all these things in your head, right? And it's like, hey, maybe this can be a thorn in the flesh, like Paul. And like, this is the thing that, you know, if God don't take it away, you know what I'm saying, for me moving forward. But, you know, I came to the point, just like even with having children, that's like, look, and this was only by not my own thinking, but I did make a choice to be like, Lord, if I still have seizures, give me the strength to navigate and take care of my family and trust you. I'm just going to do it, you know. I mean, because all things are possible with God. So
that's right.
One of the things that I did one day, you know, we found another guy, him and his wife, when my daughter, my daughter was born, and I had seen this couple a couple years ago, but we actually connected, and my daughter is in this lady's dance class, and so her husband had seizures, and he went to Wake Forest Baptist Health, but one of the specialists that's all they specialize in, and he has been doing pretty good. And so, you know, we had to come out of pocket with some money, but we went up there, and I went up there for a while, and I seen the specialist. We did tests again, and, you know, I kept taking my medication, and, you know, it got to a point where the lady told me, she was like, hey, now if you're not having no more seizures, ain't no need for me to keep giving you medication.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay. So I was like, I started depending on this medication as my source. When Jesus, I said he's the source, but it was like, well, what if I get off this and I have a seizure again and this. So I took my last medication 2017.
Amen. I've
had a seizure since then.
Amen.
No, and the last seizure that I had was in the ultrasound room when my daughter was born. And after that, I haven't had any more. And I'm driving again.
Amen.
Get my driving privileges back. And I can't say what the solution was, but the Lord.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's the only thing to save my life.
Amen. Amen. I think it's very important when our spouse supports us spiritually, independently, and also supports our dreams and careers. Does that make it easier for you as a full-time artist / label owner, knowing you have the support from your wife?
Oh, most definitely. It does, you know. Having that support from your spouse is always key, because, you know, you may feel like, man, am I really supposed to be doing this? You know, as a believer, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got into this at 32 years old, Darryl, you feel me? Like, like, why am I rapping at 32 years old?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I had a lot of support from my wife. It's like, hey, you might as well do it, you know? if that's what God called you to do. And, you know, I've rapped. You know, I used to battle rap, freestyle. I was a part of a label group called Rapid Fire Records when I was in college and everything. Rapping about guns, money, girls, stuff I didn't really live, right? You know, trying to pretend like I did. But I was born in a Christian home.
That's so, right. Like,
you think about that. You not really live. You gapping hard. And I you know, I was just rapping about that stuff. But, you know, one of the things, my mom used to take me to the library a lot. And she had a thesaurus. And I would take the thesaurus and dictionary to try to rhyme more. Mm-hmm. And work on my songwriting. And, but, you know, just having my wife on my side, you know, initially my wife wasn't really with it. So I'm not going to sit here and be like, my wife always been supporting me with music stuff. No, she wasn't really with it, you. She don't listen to rap music. She's always listening to R&B.
And so I like my wife.
Yeah. And she was like, oh no, dude, I don't see it, right? And so sometimes for my married men who are artists, Christian artists, sometimes God won't reveal it to your wife. He'll reveal it to you because you're the head. And through that, as my wife started seeing people change, and, you know, I wasn't just going up there doing a show, a performance. I would tell, like I'm talking to you, I would tell my testimony. I would tell people, you know, wherever my time is, what these songs really mean, right? It's not just writing this, you know, the Holy Spirit is giving me this to share. My transparent struggles, right? But the solution, because, you know, even in CHH sometimes, you know, we want to be real, right? But I feel like you can be real, but point them to the solution, right? Because that's what the C stands in the hip-hop.
That's right.
Pointing to the solution, who is Jesus. And as you tell your story, you can be inspired by others. And so as my wife started seeing that, she started getting on the bandwagon. And so I knew she was on the bandwagon when she bought me a, like a $200 pair of speakers for my home studio. I was like, you ain't
spending
that much money in for me. And I was like, wow. Then, you know, you can, this camera right here, she actually got this for me this weekend because she's like, yeah, you got to be right. You don't want to be looking all crazy with in fuzzy in the camera. I was like, yeah, let me get some. You feel me? So my wife has really been, having that spousal support is very, very key. You know what I'm saying? Because it allows you to be more, it gets you more confidence that God is going to call you to do what you had to do. Because my wife, you know, she's a praying woman. And, but like I said, initially she didn't see it. But you got to, as the head, I see that as I keep going, then she keeps going in what she wants to do. And then it encourages my kids to do what they need to do, you know?
Amen. Give it up to Miss Sam Purpose. Yeah. Miss Sam Purpose. That's give her some flowers. Yeah. Man, your wife is also an author, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Is it just as important for you to support her dreams as well?
Oh, absolutely. One of the things that I say I do the most is make sure that she achieves everything that God called her to do. You don't let nobody tell her that she can't do it. I don't even care if it's her own family, you know, because she can only become one with me. You know, then
and so
I push her hard. We done had some debates on it, but I always push her into the area that she go. And even in sometimes taking a break from music, you know, and I know that can be hard sometimes. It's like, you know, when you don't get that support back, you know, but you say I'm supporting you, but you don't get that support back, sometimes that can be, it can be demoralizing. It can get you down. But I got to remember, I'm not just a husband. I am a Christian husband.
Amen.
That the Bible says, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for. So I'm going to support her even when I don't feel supported, because I love her as Christ loved the church. And because I actually love her, I love Jesus and I love her, you know? And it's like, I don't do it as a rule. You feel me? Like, I don't do it as, well, God said I had to do this. So now, okay, if I'm trying to just look at the Bible and then just actually do it in my own power, I'm going to get frustrated all the time. But first has to become a love. My love for the Lord and my love for my wife. So
amen.
That helps me to actually do it even when I don't want to do it, because I trust, I want to, because that's God's daughter first, who he's given to me, you know? Old dude from Princess, North Carolina, with she is a cow. I was like, what? You know, and my wife is like an A-plus student. She's about to be a doctorate degree. Your boy just got a bachelor's degree, you know what I'm saying, from the little sticks of Middlesex, North Carolina, you know what I mean?
Okay.
I was on a fifth grade reading level, but my wife, you know, she was a nerd in school.
Okay.
You know, God gave me to her, and so God is cool how much God loves me by giving me a woman like that, you know? And so I'm gonna be down with her from day one, you know, regardless of what. And you know, like I said, I have to take my own time when I feel like I'm not feeling supported to renew my mind, get into the presence of God and come back to my wife, because that's what holds us together, because I know that we are one. And you know, you endure long enough, you'll see the results will always work out in your favor, you know, when you're obedient.
Amen. Amen. You are listening to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with our special guest, Sam Purpose. When we come back after these messages, we will be hearing Sam Purpose's testimony.
Today is a great day to start your own podcast. Whether you're looking for a new marketing channel, have a message you want to share with the world, or just think it would be fun to have your own talk show, podcasting is an easy, inexpensive, and fun way to expand your reach online. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show can be online and listed in all the major podcast directories like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more within minutes of finishing your recording. If you want to upgrade, Buzzsprout has tons of guides to help you find the right equipment at the right price. Also, if you would like to receive a $20 gift card from Amazon, follow the link in the show notes and sign up for a paid plan. This will notify Buzzsprout that we sent you, and you'll receive more details. This will definitely help support our show. Podcasting isn't hard when you have the right partners, and the team at Buzzsprout is passionate about helping you succeed. Join over 100,000 podcasters who's already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. Let's create something great together.
This is Kyle Kemp from the Bookkeeper247.com. Music represents our uniqueness, our freedom, and helps define who you are. Good music is art, expression, and good music is always personal. The Bookkeeper 24/7 understands the influence music has on our lives. So on our website, we have the best Christian music for the culture. If you'd like to submit your music or videos to our website, we have the link in the show notes. Now back to the most in-depth show in hip-hop with my dad on the Bookkeeper 24/7 podcast.
All right, welcome back to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast, fam, where we are sitting down and chopping it up with Sam Purpose. As we move into this segue, I love to hear testimony, and so do our listeners.
Talk to us about the transition of unsaved Sam Purpose to accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
So now, like, well, so this is where I'm going to start. So I'm going to start way, way back. So my transition started when I was actually having premarital sex with an ex-girlfriend. And her mom let me spend the night over her house. She said, you can only spend the night over here if you go to church with us. I was like, okay, fine. You know, I was about to roll out with that. I mean, that's it. So, you know, I did what I did the night before. Woke up, went to church. And it was in Lewisburg, North Carolina, right? I remember the pastor, Bishop Dewberry. I don't remember what he said. I don't remember none of the message. All I know is I went up there and I gave my life to Christ and I had my hands lifted to the sky. That initially, that right there was really, I submitted my life to Christ. But afterwards, and this is where I think even the body of Christ lacks, I didn't know what to do then. So the first thing that I thought to do was I just didn't have premarital sex no more. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, yeah, I can't do that. But it's like, nah, bro, that was hard because I had no discipleship. I had nobody else that was doing the same thing that I was doing that when I looked at, you know. So years passed by. You know, I move up here to Greensboro, North Carolina to go to UNC Greensboro. And I fell back into sin and having premarital sex as a Christian. And I was like, that was the first time, though, that I felt like something had left me when I was having sex with this girl on campus. And I was like, okay, it was weird because I've never felt that feeling before, ever. Like, you know, when I get it in, I got it in, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But when I had, this time I felt like something left me. Like, so I ignored the feeling. And I fell back into that. And it wasn't until I met some brothers, right? Well, I actually got kicked out of school. I got to tell that part because I wasn't going to class. I was having sex. I would go to class, I would stay over. So I got kicked out of school. I was able to appeal it. And I told God, I said, all right, God, you know what I'm saying? If you just let me get back into school, I'm going to serve you, man. Like, for real, I ain't going to play no games because I ain't trying to stay down here with my mama until I'm like 40 years old. I really am not in this country. And so I was able to get back into USCG in, I think it was 2007. And so 2007, you know, I'm serious. So I said, look, okay, I'm going to be serious. So I just isolated myself, bro. Like, I'll be in the food court. I eat by myself, things of that nature. Then it was one day I met some guys, right? And it was in a group called YTC, Youth Taking Charge. And my former pastor, Otis Lockett Jr., he was a, you know, just a regular cool dude, you know. Him and two other guys, Derek and Monte, my homies, they were just brothers that loved the Lord. And I was just like, I never seen nobody that young, because I was the oldest out of the group. I never seen nobody that young in they 18, 19 years old. They don't go to the club. They talk about, yeah, we going, you know what I'm saying? This is a worship God. And, you know, they go out to eat at the restaurant. And I'm like, that's weird to me. You know, mm-hmm. See, I'm 24. They're like, what? But they that mature that they can be a guy. So, you know, I hung out with them for a while. And that's actually where I met my wife. She was in when I had met her, she was in that group too. And so, you know, I seen these brothers that they love the Lord, they love Jesus, they was on fire, they go to church, they come back, they play like spades. They play without arguing. Yeah, it was like, oh, they would get into it, and then they play video games. It was just like they were living a normal life like everybody else, except they were submitted to God. So they weren't trying to have premarital sex. And I was still on that tip. I ain't gonna sit here in front. I was like, yeah, but I still wanna get it in. So the last time I had some premarital sex, I was with an ex of mine. And I went to church with my guys, and I remember the pastor saying, somebody in here is having premarital sex. They need to give their life to Christ, and they need to stop. And I was like, you know how it is in church.
Yeah, spotlight.
Come on up here. And I put my head down like, I'm not going up there, y'all. I'm not. And then you get to the whole thing. Turn to your neighbor and ask them, do they have Christ? I was like, nobody was around me at that time, so they couldn't turn to me. I was like, look, don't ask me. Don't ask me. And then he kept saying it. And one of the things that my late pastor used to do is he used to count down from he used to count, he like one, you know, and then he'll say a message two. And I felt, and that countdown was just like, man, I feel like maybe if I don't do this now, then I won't never get another chance. And I'm gonna be stuck in this way. So I went up there. I gave my life to Christ. I rededicated my life to Christ. And this time I was serious, because I went and found those same brothers. And I just started going there. And then my ex, because I was living with her, I told her, man, I can't have sex no more with you. And she was like, okay, well, our relationship is not about sex. Okay. And then one night, you know, I was stuck with that choice again. And I resisted. I said, you know what? I can't do this now. I got to be serious about what I'm doing. So she kicked me out of the house. And I was like, you know what? That was the best thing that could have happened to me, because now I had to find my own way and simply avoid the premarital sex. And just being around those guys really changed my life. You know, discipleship, man, is the
key. Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, these guys were hitting me up and be like, hey, Sam, you know what I'm saying? You ain't with no girls, are you? I was like, bro, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, bro. Why are you calling? And they would be consistent. They didn't care how angry I got at them. And I think, you know, a lot of times, I think that's what's changed, to be honest with you. People scared for rejection. It's like, hey, you know what I'm saying? You said you were a believer, so I want to check in on you. And somebody come back with, stop judging me. No, I have a right to judge you, because you openly confess that you say you want to be a believer. So I'm here, you know what I'm saying? And so that's what helped me. And that's my transition. The thing about it is, this is the key. The more and more I resisted sin and being around those brothers, the more and more I became drawn closer to Christ and wanted to know more about him. Not that sin was completely absent from my life, but I had access to other people who were walking in the same journey. And it wasn't a group. It was just two guys. And because the third guy, he had to go, he went to be ordained to be a pastor. It was two guys. Then it became one guy. Then all of them moved and went back home from college. And so it was just me. So I was like, man, who in the world, who am I going to be accountable to now? You know, and they asked me to be a leader. I was like, what? A leader in what? In the youth, and to be a part of the men's ministry there. And I'm like, bro, I don't know what I'm doing, but they trusted me in my faithfulness, one of the guys said. And so as I started to be a leader there, I saw that not only was I helping the guys, but they were helping me, because I knew that if I was doing something else, and they looked up to me, like I would be hypocritical in trying to preach the gospel to these dudes. And these were like just normal guys. These were some hood guys, you know, because I would go out and get the dudes to smell like weed, the cigarette smokers brought up in regular homes, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's my transition. You know, I came from having premarital sex to having a little bit of it to resisting it. But in it all, God empowered me to do it. But I still had to make the choice. And he, when you make that choice, he will empower you in that area. So I was able to resist and get into another relationship with my wife now, who is my girlfriend. And another thing that helped me was she was in the same boat. She didn't want to have sex before marriage because she wanted to please God. So it was easy for me to help because we had boundaries. And I was looking for that. I can't be in a relationship with a girl that want to have sex. And she said, she say, no, that's not going to work for me because I'm a fall too. So I just might as well not be in a relationship. But when I met my wife, it's like we sat and talked about that shit. How long are we going to stay out? We can't stay out past this time. We ain't going to do no hugging. We're not going to do no kissing. We're not going to do, if we do hug, we do side hugs. And I was like, man, that's going to be hard. But we were able to do it because we were both on one accord. And as bad as she was tempted, as bad as I was tempted, we said, hey, we got to keep our commitment to Christ. So having a relationship like that is really, really helpful to help me to come into growing who I needed to be in Christ, helping my wife grow into, and then coming into marriage to know that we waited for each other, you know, because we respected the Lord and we respected each other.
Amen. That's what's up. One thing I like too is you hear all the time people say, like a gimmick almost, I'm not going to have sex because of my worth or this or that. I'm trying to get a husband or a wife. But what I like about your testimony is you and your wife decided, no, we're doing this because this is what Christ says to do. Mm-hmm. Like the boundaries around it is tied up in Christ, not in your vantage point or your gains in life. So that's what I like about your testimony. I always get the opportunity to talk to the one out there feeling like it's impossible to win. If you could talk to that person right now that's on the fence of accepting Christ and God's will for their life, what advice would you give them?
Deny yourself and your way of thinking. Because the thing about it is, the first thing that Jesus said, he said, if any man come after me, you must first deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. It's hard because you think about it, like we want to do what we want to do. Like we don't want nobody to tell us what to do. Right. And see, that's why the enemy, when we talk about it, it's the devil, you know what the devil's good at? He's good at leaving himself out of it and thinking that we're making our own choices.
Mm-hmm.
He don't have to, because even with the devil, if he told us what to do, it would be ineffective because we don't want nobody to tell us what to do. But God is telling us something based off him being the founder of this world. So I say, you have to deny yourself, and that's hard. But I say, deny yourself, put yourself around people who love Jesus and love the Lord. And in order for you to do that, you have to ask the Lord, like, Lord, I really want to live with you. I really want to live for you. It's going to be hard, though. I need some people who care about you, who are after your heart. I need men after your own heart. I need women after your own heart. And he will put those people around you. And once you go out and you're searching for that, you will find that, because you have to deny yourself in order to live this life. And you know, we live in a new age now where it's just like my knowledge, right? But I know my facts, my history is God. But it don't matter how much you know. The thing about it, it's not that knowledge is not important. Knowledge in itself is not the standard for living for Christ. You don't have to know the whole Bible to live for Christ. You know, the thing about it is you have to follow him and you have to deny yourself. Because when you deny yourself, now you allow him to speak to you, you can hear. Because see, when you're talking and I'm talking at the same time, we can't hear each other.
That's right.
But it's like, if we already in our mind know, okay, I got this because this says this and this is a historical fact, how are you going to worship the creation instead of the creator, or get knowledge from another person who may have some facts, but the creator of that person has given them the ability to have knowledge? You know what I'm saying? And I think we worship people and knowledge more than we worship God. And I would say you have to deny yourself, you know, in this walk with Christ, if you're going to really pursue the Lord and live for him faithfully.
Amen. Amen. Once again, this is the Bookkeeper 247 podcast with your host, Daryl Kemp. We are sitting down with an exclusive interview with Christian hip hop artist Sam Purpose. Stay tuned, and we will be back after these messages to talk about his latest project, Pitmo.
Yes, sir. You already know what's going on, man. Say, man, shine on me, the soul of the city. I'm locked in to the Bookkeeper 24/7. We in there. It's up there and it's stuck there. You hear me?
Welcome back to the Bookkeeper 247 podcast, family, where we are sitting down and chopping it up with Christian hip hop artist Sam Purpose. In this segue, I would like to talk about your latest project, Pitmo, and some more of your music as well. Pitmo was a full 13-track project. Tell us the acronym for Pitmo.
So Pitmo is persist in the midst of adversity. And, you know, for me in this time now, and I think for a lot of people, you know, with the pandemics and, you know, it's everything going around, that people had to persist in the midst of adversity. They had to keep going, you know. That album was based off of John, I think 16:33, says, in this world, you're going to have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. That's when Jesus was talking to the disciples. He was telling them that, hey, listen, you're going to have trouble in this world regardless, right? It don't matter. But just remember, I've overcome the world. So when you connect with me, it's nothing that can stop you from doing what I've called you to do, because no one can beat you. But you have to trust me and carry me with you in your heart. And so that's with anything, you know. I talk to my believers to say, look, it don't matter what's going on around you. It's always going to be like this. Matter of fact, it's going to get worse if we look at the Bible. But that
absolutely,
the conditions of this environment do not determine the will of God for your life.
Amen.
Because Jesus died for us in a bad condition and came out with victory. And it don't really matter what you face, you know. So continue to persist. And it's for me, you know, because I was going to give up on everything. Music, my marriage at one point. I was just like, man, forget it. But it's like it's too hard, you know. I'm struggling, trying to, you know, spend time with my kids, and I got to work, and 40, 50, 60 hours, it's like, it sucks, you know. But the thing about it is, God reminded me, he said, take heart, I've overcome the world, you know what I mean? And, you know, that's just not a general statement. But for the unbeliever, I would say, don't just persist by yourself in any goal. Persist with Jesus. And don't just do it just to achieve a goal, to achieve a blessing. Because you're blessed without the money. You're blessed without the career. But it takes a renewal of your mind to see that. But persist with Jesus, because guess what? as things get worse in this world, you're going to need more of a peace of mind than a piece of bread and money. You're going to need peace of mind, because you can be a millionaire and gone crazy. As we know, my homie Kanye.
Kanye.
Hey, shout out to Kanye. No disrespect to you, Kanye. But hey, if the only thing you got to go back to is money or what you have, then when all those things are gone, what do you have? Right? So you got, but you got to pursue. You got to persist. Persist with Jesus. Persist with the Lord, because he will never fail you. You know, we look at one area in our life, and we think when we have success in that, that we have success overall. But you can be financially successful and a failure in life, a failure in your marriage, a failure in with people, right? Because if you don't know how to treat people, if you don't know how to even, if you don't know how to carry out and have a good character, be loyal, then what do you have, you know? And I say this, that in the end, you know, if there's no God, right, if there's no Jesus, if all this is a myth, then why do I have to be kind to one another? Why do I have to love? I could keep having premarital sex like I was, right? Because ain't nothing gonna happen in the end. It ain't like morally good. It's nothing morally good without God. You know, a lot of people, you know, they think morals, they base morals off our politics. Like, bro, like on both sides, they got issues, you know?
That's right.
You on one side just talk about abortion and homosexuality. The other side, because of the color of my skin, I can't drink from a water fountain. And it still happens today, even though, you know, we done had marches. Or the other side doesn't want to help the poor because they feel like, well, you need to get out and do something, you know? And it's like, hey, both sides need Jesus. Based on our salvation off of a political party, then we already on the wrong track.
Yes, sir.
You know, persisting in the midst of adversity is persisting in with Jesus through all your trials and tribulations, simply.
Amen. I noticed something, and you just brought it up. In majority of the music I've heard from you, project to project, song after song, you're going to have a scripture or a chapter that your project is based around. Is that part of your creative process when you're putting together a project like this?
Yes, exactly. Because to me, Christian hip hop is just what it is, you know, regardless of how people see it in this day and age. I have to have Christ, because I was a Christian before I actually got into the music industry seriously. You know, I've always rapped, but even the gift of rap came from God. So, you know, I want to encourage people, and you know, Christian hip hop, right? It's not for me. I didn't even know it existed until 2010, and even at that time, it was just like, okay, it's Christian hip hop. What does that mean? You know. And the first artist that I came across was Andy Mineo. He was called Sea Light.
And oh, yeah.
It was called God Belongs in My City. And what I heard was God Belongs in My City with some dope lyrics. And as my homie started to introduce me more to Christian hip-hop artists, Christian rap, you know, my take and my look at CHH was, it wasn't just a genre of music at that time. It was brothers that had bars, that they love hip hop, but they had a relationship with Jesus Christ, and they wanted to express that through their music. And so that's how I've always looked at CHH. But I do understand from a business standpoint, it is a genre of music, right? And it's a genre of music that may not always say Jesus in it, but it may have the principles of drawing you to Christ through hearing the message.
Amen. Speaking of bars, Never Shaken, you talk about some adversity you face, like wondering how to pay bills, popping pills, and how your seizures wouldn't let up. You said you wondered if you'd be healed. How hard is it to share personal struggles on your music?
For me, it's not really that hard because I don't mind being transparent because I know that it's going to end up helping somebody in the long run. And I think that, you know, in that song, you know, I was coming from a standpoint of, especially to married men who have families and, you know, we're paying the bills. And it's like, you be doing good for a bit, you know, and then your job wants to change or they lay you off or they do this. And it's like, man, it's like, it seems like I'm keep going through this the whole time. And, you know, even having epilepsy at that time, it was just like kind of hard to say, hey, God, how do I fit with your description as a man in the Bible if I'm going through all this? Right. And, you know, the pills I was talking about popping was medication, I would say. You know what I'm saying? Like, am I going to always have to take this medicine for the rest of my life? Or I'm just going to be on medication because I have this medication, but it has these side effects. So if I take enough of it, these side effects are going to start to take over. And so now I'm going to have to deal with something else besides the seizures. And so, you know, that song was really based off of my faith in the Lord, because all my anxieties and my fears died down when I stopped just talking about it, thinking about what can happen in the future and thinking on the present of Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says, you know, whatever things are pure, whatever things are true, whatever things are loyal, think on these things. And, you know, when I start doing that, it's like when I start doing that, even when things don't look like it's getting better, like when I did that, like it ain't like I got a check in the mail for $1 million and the seizure stopped. But I had peace and I had trust that, hey, you know what? Things are going to be all right. I can't give you an answer on how, but as I keep thinking of those things, you know, sometimes I don't even remember how God brought me out of certain things, but I know that I'm here, you know, and I'm filled with joy, you know. My marriage is increasing, you know, and my even finances. I don't worry about finances like I used to, and I'm not rich. God has showed me how to steward the money by creating a spending plan and having a budget and being able to say, I got a budget for music marketing. I have a budget for my household. I have a budget for when we go on vacations. It's like, you know, my late pastor said, if it's not practical, it's not spiritual. You know what I'm saying? Like when we talk about money, like you gotta have a spending plan in order to manage. God is not against that. He created you to have ideas. He created financial advisors. He created financial planners for them to be there. He gave them that knowledge so he can help you. You know, we like to leave God out of the practical things in this world, and we'll bring them all in church with us. But he wants us to bring him in our lives because he's here to help us. He says he's prayed that we shall prosper and be in good health just as our soul prospers. Like, he's not absent from our daily, everyday lives 24/7. He just wants us to bring him in. He's not going to force himself on us.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So here we go. We're going to get all of the rule right now. Tell us about the purpose behind Black Dad.
Man. So one of the things that I've seen in this in this world, you know, as I was doing my research, that, you know, Black men have had it hard, you know. You know, my mom was born in a time that, you know, Martin Luther King and all the civil rights movement. So she's a baby boomer. And, you know, when I see and do my research and look at how they even had kids in boiler rooms, Black kids in the education system, I wanted to make a song to encourage Black men, right? Because in the media, you know, we see them getting shot, which they even getting killed. And I know we got statistics where it says, hey, you know, where more white men are killed and this and this and this. But at the same time, we completely ignore Black men unless they're doing something wrong. And that's not just white men. Sometimes Black men ignore Black men, you know? So you can't put it all on a white man. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Like my friend. Like, it wasn't a white man that killed my friend. It was a Black guy in our own neighborhood. So I wanted to make something to encourage Black men, Black fathers, you know? And I had got some stuff on social media. Well, it's just not about Black men, Black dads. What about white dads? What about Asian dads? And I'm like, look, me and my homie had a talk. And it had to talk to this individual. It's like, well, when it's women's empowerment, but it ain't had nothing to do with me, but I can celebrate women's empowerment, right?
And that's right.
Do you have to be celebrated in everything? Like, when we celebrate Mother's Day, I celebrate Mother's Day. It don't have to be about me. I don't say, hey, what about Father's Day? It doesn't have to necessarily be about me to be celebrated. And so, you know, lifting up one demographic of people is not degrading the other demographic of people.
That's right.
People got to understand, some people are so immature with that. And, you know, I don't try to get too much on that with social media, but when you live in a one demographic of people, it don't eliminate or degrade the other demographic. So I made that song because the truth is, in this world, Black men, Black fathers are not celebrated as much. And there is statistics that say more Black fathers are present in their home than any other race. But we don't, you gotta go search for that information. You're not going to see that a lot unless you're like always on social media, you're typing up that term. But it's like, I made it to encourage Black fathers, specifically Black fathers who are in their homes and taking care of their kids, to be leaders, not just to be present. Because you can be present and not be a leader. And, you know, that song right there was to not to encourage all Black fathers. I'm not talking about baby daddies. So if you get offended by that, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about fathers who are in their homes, whether they're married men, whether they're single men, who are in their homes taking care of their fathers. And I'm talking about single men who may have lost their wife due to death or things of that nature. You know, because I'm not talking about baby dads. I'm talking about Black fathers, Black dad, telling them that their image of a mighty God. God created you in his image, just like he created a white man, just like he created a Asian man, a Hispanic man. And regardless of what, you don't have a manual to be a father, but you do have Jesus Christ to help you. And I wanted to just encourage my Black fathers, man, that you matter. And you know, that you're not forgotten, you know, and we know we all make mistakes, but you are still a father, because that's not just something that you can do because you pay the bills and put food on the table. You know, my homie Russell Dye says daddy is a verb, meaning that it's an action. Yeah, I'm present, but I'm leading my children. I am a father just like Jesus is my father. and the best way to my unsaved fathers out here to be a father is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, because he is the founder of all fathers.
Amen. Amen. Man, I like that. And when you was talking, you know, I'm gonna give a shout out to my inner circle. My brother, Alvin, great black dad. My partner, Eric Ellens, great black dad. Yeah. My pastor, Eddie Richardson, great black dad. And me, I had my struggles, but when I accepted Christ, great black dad.
Yeah.
And I know I'm talking to one too, Sam Purpose, a great black dad. And that's not to be inconclusive of any man out there or any black, white, Asian, or whatever ethnic background that you're from, but we right. get such a, we get such a, it's almost like we're a bullseye in this world, yeah. and they try to tear us down. So I love what you say, that that's an action word, and to follow Jesus, because he's the ultimate reciprocant that we need to be like. I like that. Black dad. Yes, yeah. sir. So yes, what sir. Was your favorite song on Pitmo?
I say my favorite song had to be Miles Morales.
Okay.
And, you know, my daughter likes Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. And, you know, that's one of my favorite songs, because as I was watching that movie, I seen a lot of believers in this walk with Christ, right? Like, they have the power within them, but they're just afraid to step out and pursue it and use it. And, you know, in the movie, Spider-Man, Peter Parker tells Miles Morales, Spider-Man, it's like, man, he said, how will I know that I'm ready? He says, it's a leap of faith.
Mm.
And when we take a leap of faith, and when we receive Christ and we take a leap of faith from what he tells us to do, you know, that's how you overcome fear. Because I go back to my late pastor. He said, fear is false evidence appearing real. And a lot of the stuff that we feel like is going to happen may not even ever happen. But we won't know if they're going to happen until we step out there. So overcome that fear, like Miles had to do when he walked on top of that building. He still had the power of Spider-Man, but he was afraid to use it. So he tripped over his shoestring, and it was like he landed, but he didn't hurt himself because he still had that power of Spider-Man in him. But it was just like when his father was talking to him, God, it's crazy. When his father was talking to him and encouraging him, that's like when Jesus talks to us, when we spend time in prayer and listen, not just do the talking. We're encouraged in the Lord. And reading his word, his father was talking to him when he was sitting in that room, his dorm, and it sparked something in him. And he got up, went right back to that building.
That's right.
Because it's like what's inside of you, sometimes you need other people around you to bring that out of you. Mm. And like, even if you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, we need each other in the body of Christ to encourage us, to push us into what God has called us to do, because you can't do it by yourself. You need somebody to be like, look, I don't care how many times you fail. I don't care how many times they rejected your music. I don't care how many times people say it's not good enough. Think about it. If God has called you to do it, you're going to do it, because the thing about it, it's going to change lives. And it may not be dope to them, but it's dope to me. It may not, you may not have done it this way, but guess what? You will be able to do it. Just keep pursuing, keep going ahead, because you already have what it takes inside of you to be able to accomplish what you need to accomplish, and that's Christ Jesus.
Amen. That's what's up. That's what's up. So what vision or what kind of project does Sam Purpose see himself making in the foreseeable future?
I'm thinking about making another project to encourage, you know, the body of Christ, especially my 30 and up men. because I think like we get into Christian hip hop is just for the youth, like my man Bear Dots was saying, it's not just for the youth, it's for everybody. You know what I'm saying? That's it's right. Like hip hop is for everybody. So we get to a point that we gotta get out of this box. And so as I'm getting older, you know, I realize that the youth could be people in their 20s, like 25. But 30 and up, man, I think as I'm becoming a father and learning to be a father, husband, I need to speak to my 30 and up men to tell them that it's not too late to achieve what God has called you to do. Like, when we hit our 30s, we feel like, man, it's over. It's not over. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, everything has an appointed time, you know? And whether you didn't do it when you was younger, it's fine. But know that God is the controller of all time. And so I'm thinking about making a project for my 30 and up men, man. Just to include them and let them know that, hey, it's not over. It's never over. And my project, Plug Into Jesus, I made that 2017. But I think I'm going to do a Plug Into Jesus project for my 30 and up group.
Okay. Okay, that's what's up. That's what's up. Man, last thing, fam. Let the people know where they can follow you at and cop your music.
Yo, you can find me on all social media platforms. That is Sam Purpose Music on everything. TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can also, if you want to check out all my music and know more about me, go ahead and subscribe to my email list. Got the bookkeeper, my text list, and that's at sampurposemusic.com. You can find everything about me there. You know, I'm a little bit, I guess I'm a little bit more transparent on my email list than I am on social media. But yeah, definitely check out my music. But you know, this rock with me, we can do life together. You don't have to be saved to be on this list, because guess what? We're called to the lost, you know? And if you don't feel like you're lost, I'm not going to bash you with the word, but I'm going to encourage you in the Lord and begin to hang out, chill. I must probably start trying to do some Zoom calls for those who are available with the current people on the list, just to get to know people. So that's where you can find me at in my music.
Amen. That'll work. And we're going to have all his links in the show notes too, where you can follow him. And by the way, he killing it on TikTok too. You killing it, brother. All that split screen W and all that, you killing it on TikTok. I really enjoy watching that. Yes, sir. And family, you know where you can follow us at? You can go to your favorite web browser and just put in hashtag TBK247, and I guarantee we'll pop up everywhere. Man, Sam, I want to thank you for being on the show, my brother. And Lord knows I want the Lord to be able to lead you, guide you, feed you, comfort you, so you can continue to lead, guide, feed, and comfort others, my brother. Man, I love your ministry, man. May blessings be over you, your ministry, and your family. And I appreciate you coming by the show, bro.
Most definitely. Thank you for having me. I appreciate you, man.
Yes, sir. And we out, family. Peace.
All right, peace.
Thank you for joining us. Remember, you can help us by liking, sharing, commenting, and subscribing. We are on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, AudioMac, and many more platforms. If you would like to donate a monetary blessing, go to the description located inside the show notes. There, you will have an opportunity to give a one-time blessing or monthly if you choose. Basically, whatever the Lord puts on your heart to give will be very much appreciated. The donations will help our ministry help others, as well as our growth regarding better equipment, so that we can spread the word of God even further. Thank you again, and until next time, God bless. God bless. God bless. God bless. God bless.